Text 8. Tannam rupa charitadi sakirtana nusmityo kramena rasanam anasin yoja tishtam brade taranuragi jananugami kalam nayeda kilamityu padesha sharam. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. The purport begins, or Section A, describes training the mind to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. This is the beginning of the verse. The verse is of two parts. One is what to do with the mind, and the second, once the mind is fixed on the desired object, how it should think and what it should do once it is fixed on that sadhya or goal. So to control the mind and the advice, the essence of advice that Srila Rupa Goswami is giving, that 24 hours a day, every day, that one should fix his mind on the name, the rupa, the guna, and lila of Krishna. And that way one's mind should be engaged in Krishna's service, and one's, of course, one's tongue also, and one's mind should be engaged in Krishna's service. These four are such attractive aspects of Krishna. These four, Krishna's guna, his qualities, his rupa, his form, his lila, his pastimes, and his name, they're all Krishna. They are no different from Krishna. And they are even more attractive in Krishna's case than the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of even the Lord of Vaikuntha Narayan. What to speak of any demigod or any other great personality. So this is the key. So the mind, Bhajohure Mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravinda, that one should fix his mind at the lotus feet of he who will make one fearless. This is the prayer of Govinda Das to his mind, the same that is given, same advice that is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. And this ultimately is the essence of all Vaidhi. And when one learns the art of fixing his mind with affection on Krishna, then the result will be that, practically speaking, the Bhagavad Gita even says, for one who has controlled his mind, the super soul has already reached. That one can't do this unless he is actually spontaneously attracted to Krishna's name, form, pastimes, and qualities. If we don't fix our mind on Krishna, our mind must wander to many, many other things. And none of these other things, no other material thing, is actually beneficial for the mind to meditate upon. What does the mind meditate on when it is not thinking about Krishna? Prabhupada explains clearly that there are so many hundreds and thousands of sanskaras or impressions that have molded the mind into molded the mind into a creature with its own will, practically. These sanskaras or impressions are from this life and from previous lives, not from one's previous life, but from previous lives. We spoke in our learning theory class at the beginning of the year how the mind was like soft clay, and according to what it comes in contact with the soft clay of the mind, then the mind will get an impression in it, and this impression Although it's easy to go in, it's hard to get out. And all our sinful activities and tendencies are stored in the mind in this way. And they're just waiting there for an opportunity. So if one associates with something that reminds him of something that he has stored in his mind, the samskara, then it may, some impression, some samskara that we hadn't thought about for years or years or even in this lifetime practically, may come to the surface. If one just associates with something that one has a samskara, or if one wills that samskara to come up, one can think, I want to think about this particular, everything I know about a particular subject. And in that way, one will will up the impression to come to his consciousness. We can will up everything we know about tulsi plants, everything we know about London, everything we know about snow, everything we know about the most pious activity or the most sinful activities. We can will these up. The third way that one will his sanskaras come up is through his karma. The karma that is manifesting now. Even if one doesn't will it, sometimes it just it just appears by one's karma. One runs right into it. So in these ways, the sanskaras from our previous lives are always giving us trouble. And these sanskaras, they actually, force the mind to focus upon, they determine what we do in this life and they determine our next life. And Prabhupada quotes, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajan yante kalevaram. That whatever one fixes his mind upon, at the end of his life, he will attain that particular state of being. Adishtaya manaschayam sevan up. No, what's the first word in the next line? Something upasevate. That adishtayam manaschayam, that the mind vishayan upasevate, that the mind carries the living entity to his next body, where he has the opportunity to enjoy different sense objects. And then based on that, he acquires a different set of eyes, ears, nose, etc., based on the mind's desires, these sanskaras that are carried from one body to the next. So, if one can somehow or another think of Krishna at the time of death, then he will go to Krishna. Therefore, because what we're thinking of at the time of death determines our next life, and because what we think of at the time of and during the life determines what we think of at the time of death, therefore Rupa Goswami is advising us. He cannot force us, but he can advise us to constantly, 24 hours a day, think of Krishna. And this actually is the essence of all spiritual advice. Now, and if one does remember Krishna throughout his life, then at the time of death he will remember Krishna. The tongue, similarly, as we have already heard, should only taste Krishna prasadam and speak about Krishna. And then also, as this tishtan vraje taranuragi jananagami, we're moving into the second part over here, that one should live in Vrindavan. This is the best advice over here. To live always in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vrajadham. So either one can live here physically, with his gross body, or one, if one cannot, by Krishna's desire or order, live here with a gross body, one should live here mentally. Always be thinking of Krishna, surrounded by Krishna. And in this way, one should continuously, always think of Krishna's Naam, Krishna's Roop, Krishna's Guna, and Krishna's Leela. And this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And such a person who is always thinking of Krishna in this way, remembering Krishna in an undeviated fashion, Krishna becomes easy to obtain. And the more one does this, the more taste one gets for Krishna. This is the essence of all advice, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. And this advice also is given by Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. And this verse, we'll look at it a little later, is also included, of course, in the Nectar of Devotion, in describing Raganuga Bhakti. And it's also included in the teachings to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Goswami. So a devotee should always, and it's in the second of the first part of the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu or the Nectar of Devotion, the first part is the eastern wave, and it is called Sadhana Bhakti. The first wave of the eastern portion of the ocean is a general description of Bhakti Yoga, and the second part, the whole thing is just a general description of Bhakti Yoga, and the first wave of that general description is more a more specific general description, and the second wave is Sadhana Bhakti. So later on into the description of Sadhana Bhakti in verse 294, because this is 1-2-294, it speaks of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, when one is already quite advanced. And here there are a few verses. Two of them are given, two out of the basic three verses. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Braja and always engage in Krishna Smaranam, Jananam, Chasya, Shrestham, the remembrance of Krishna and with his beloved associates. By following the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Raganuga Bhakti, that one always immerses himself in remembering Krishna under the guidance of one who is already situated in his rasa with Krishna. So there are two terms that Rupa Goswami uses. One is Ragatmika and the other is Raganuga. Ragatmika means a resident of Vrindavan who loves Krishna in one of the five primary rasas, either in Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras. Either in neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal affection. So those who live in Vrindavan, already fully in love with Krishna, are called Ragatmika. And one who follows in the mood of the Ragatmika is called Raganuga. Raganuga, the followers of Raga. Raga means attachment. Okay. So Rupa Goswami gives further explanation of Raganuga Bhakti. Seva sadaka rupena, siddha rupena chatrahi, tadbhava lipsunakarya mraja loka nusarataha. And this means, in the transcendental realm of Braja Braja Dham, one should serve the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, with a feeling similar to that of his associates. And one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed while in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, God realization, when one is a siddha purusha or a spiritually perfect soul. So, seva, one should serve in this way in his sadaka rupena. Sadaka means that one who is in practice, one who is practicing. And rupena means the form that he's practicing, and that means in his material body. So when one is serving Krishna, practicing, even if he's practicing Braja Bhakti, following in the footsteps of one of Krishna's beloved devotees, he still, because he has a sadaka rupena, a material body, he follows the instructions of Rupa Goswami, which means that he follows all the rules and regulations given in the bhakti, rasamrita, sindhu, nectar of devotion. That he doesn't, some people think, oh, I'm going to practice raganuga bhakti and therefore I don't have to follow the rules and regulations anymore. But here the instruction is seva sadaka rupena. That means that externally one should follow Rupa Goswami in the actual activities of Rupa Goswami, which were always very strict in following in the practices, the sadhana. And then, siddha rupena chatrihi, internally, in his a spiritual body, one should, because he's sadhana now, so he's not siddha, he should mentally conceive of a spiritual body and he should serve Krishna following under the guidance of one of the residents of Braja, and all this is done under the guidance of his spiritual master. And then tad bhava lipsana karya braja loka lokanu sarataha, that one should find the dearest of Krishna and one should serve the dearest of Sri Krishna. One should serve Krishna and the dearest of Krishna in this way. So in that way, it is being the servant of the servant. It is not that one goes to the spiritual world and just directly serves Krishna. Not in this sampradaya. One goes to the spiritual world and he serves all the servants of Krishna. And he serves those who are most qualified to give Krishna pleasure. He doesn't directly serve Krishna. And that is not at all recommended. So it is never that, as the sahajiyas say, that it is never that one imitates with his external body, with his sadaka rupena, sadaka rupa, what is done with his siddha rupa. One never imitates what is done in the spiritual world with his material body. This is strictly forbidden, and if one does that, it's a hajjiya. Any questions about this? That's the end of the first section. In the second section, there's things that I'd like to read. Just let me look and see one other thing. Well, in that first verse, on page 74, that's mentioned, that 1-2-294, Krishnam Smanam Janam Chasya Preshtam Nija Samitam. That means that one should reside in the transcendental Vrindavan and always remember Krishna. And the Preshtam means the dearest to Krishna. So one doesn't just remember Krishna, but remembers the dearest to Krishna, the ragatmika devotees like Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Tungabhadra, and the other gopis, Nandi, Yasoda, Sridham, Subal, etc. And these three rasas, actually, the conjugal ras and the maternal-fraternal ras, where Krishna is thought of as one's dearest child, and the friendship, sakha ras, these are all considered madhurya ras. They are all sweet and they all exist in Braja in their sweetness. Questions? Any other question?
One of the statements that really hit me was this, these impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Especially those who've taken lower births, the mind is, like you were speaking, a repository of all the lusty propensities. And you also, a few classes ago, mentioned about Lord Shabadev's description of the mind. Once control, the sage deals with it like a tamed animal or a wild animal has been tamed. So as soon as you... So the mind is always giving, or is ready to give one problems if you slack off.
Ready, willing, and able to give problems.
And then you're describing about the mind of an elevated soul who's mentally living in Vrindavan, even while not physically present. that mental culture is going on continuously in Krishna consciousness. So if one is not practiced or trained properly, then he's unavoidably left with the TV of his mind to act, and all these images which have been stored up. And this lifetime, we've been victimized so much.
Yeah, so therefore, by hearing and chanting a lot, then the TV begins to be spiritual TV, because we overflood our mind with spiritual visions and impressions and sounds and sights and smelling. Therefore, the definition of sadhana bhakti that Rupa Goswami gives is sadhana bhakti kritya. Well, I can't remember it exactly, but it's by those practices that that by engaging the senses in Krishna's service that give rise to bhava, they are called sadhana. That give rise to bhava within the heart. So it's a matter of engaging the senses in Krishna's service and overflooding the senses and thereby the mind with spiritual stimulations and giving so many new samskaras to the mind that will carry us to the spiritual world or a better birth. So that's the process. Always seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, seeing the deity, smelling the incense, tasting the prasadam, looking at pictures of Krishna, hearing the sound of the kartos, drums, seeing the deities again, talking with the devotees, looking at the shastras, seeing pictures of Krishna. So when the mind becomes fully absorbed in Krishna, giving it gets new sanskaras.
It gets
new impressions.
And the ones that we thought were once indelible, they start to fade?
Yeah, for sure. So many. But it takes time and it takes effort. It takes nyam-nyam. It takes avoidance and the positive to make them fade. And it takes abhyas and vairagya, as the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter says.
What is that example about the milk and the ink? Is that appropriate?
Yeah. By pouring in milk. If the milk cup is full past the top, then the ink will glide off. But if there's a little bit of milk in there, a little bit of empty spot, the milk will come and poison the whole thing. So we should become full. Full to the very top of Krishna Katha.
The way that this process has been perceived is just like a little bit if we're looking backward, like in our own lives. Like if you're looking like when we were 10 years old, we don't have the same samskara that we were having at that time.
Say that again?
No, we're not having the same samskara that we were having.
No, we
moved out of it.
No. We've stored them. They've gone from the conscious mind to the subconscious mind. And if one knows about like hypnotism or something like that, then one just one relaxes. And even when one gets older, when one becomes old, an old man will tend to remember everything he did in his childhood. And I remember when the price of beans was 2 paisa for a truckload, and rent was 4 annas or something like that.
The samskaras are not gone.
That's what I was saying.
Like the process that one would feel when he's gradually getting rid of his contamination, his now material contamination, and going towards a pure state of mind, it would be sort of similar experience of leaving off this.
It's actually leaving off because, see, a person who has become purified through these spiritual sanskaras, he's no longer attracted to those previous sanskaras. So they're actually removed from his consciousness. It's not like he has to fight himself to stop smoking cigarettes, even though he may have done that in his last life or the beginning of this life. This is purity. This actually happens. Yeah, you feel like doing the things that you were doing when you were 20. Better if you feel like you were doing the things like you were doing when you were 10, for your own welfare. I see you acting like a 10-year-old a lot and playing. When you get with the kids, I see it comes right out. Yeah?
Yeah.
So. But the body does do that. You know, you change your tendencies like that, but these impressions are very, very, very deep and very hard to remove. But through abhyas and vairagya and higher knowledge, they actually can be removed, but it's not easy.
Literally removed?
Yes, literally removed. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems that we mix this the previous samskaras and our Krishna consciousness. We sometimes use the word dovetailing, but it seems that dovetailing is that what's going on. So, what's the effect of that?
Of dovetailing, purification. But it has to be. This is explained. The instructions of Narada Muni to Vyas does not a thing which has caused the disease when therapeutically treated cure that same disease. In the example of one gets indigestion from eating too many milk products, and by a treatment of that milk product it is turned to yogurt, and that milk product causes the disease, cures the disease that it has previously caused. But that has to be done under the guidance of the physician. That's the point.
Because I was going to say, then, like, for example, listening to rock and roll music about Krishna, that, because, you know, your samskaras are attracted to the rock and roll music.
For a non-devotee, that's an improvement. For a devotee, it's a step backwards. Because their old samskara about rock and roll becomes freshened and deeper. For a non-devotee, his new sanskara about Krishna starts making an impression in his consciousness. Scientific.
Clear up this point. It was mentioned here that following in the footsteps of the putting oneself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna.
Yes.
It says that this method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana and in the perfect Siddha Purusha stage.
Yes.
So sadhana, that means the Raganuga Bhakti.
Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti.
Yeah. Does that mean that there comes a point in time when one internally is able to associate with the residents of Vrindavan?
Yes. Well, because they are transcendental as Krishna is transcendental, so as we can associate with Krishna through his lila and name and form, we also associate with Krishna's pleasure potency, which is actually the resonance of Vrindavan there, Krishna's pleasure potency. They're all expansions of either Srimati Radharani or Baladev. These like Mother Yasoda, Sudam, Sridam, Subal. Nanda, Upananda. Of course, this is a very deep esoteric subject matter. This is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach us, and therefore Rupa Goswami, in the last verses, the last three verses, four verses, 8, 9, 10, and 11, describes, first here he's describing still abhideya, or the process of attaining the prayojana, the goal. But it's still very, very elevated subject matter. This is religion.
That same idea, how does one in our situation can practice this?
Chant Hare Krishna, follow the four rules, 10 Mangalarti, practice sadhana bhakti, sadhana vaidhi bhakti, and then when that becomes completely part of your nature, then you, then one day, if you're very, very fortunate, either in this life or the next, at some time if, when Krishna desires to be merciful to you, he will give you the association that brings you to Raghunuga Bhakti. But first is Vaidhi Bhakti. Unless we get our senses under control, there's no question of taking part in Raghunuga Bhakti.
So
senses and mind. It's practice. Practice for entering Krishna Leela. This is all on the Madhyam level. Sadhana Bhakti means on the Madhyam level. If you look in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a chart that explains this. Yeah, anyway, Raghunuga Bhakti, it's described in the chapters on Sadhana Bhakti, in the second part, the second wave of the eastern side of the ocean. It's called Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. There is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there's Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, then the next part of the ocean is Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. There are three parts of Bhakti. There's Sadhana Bhakti, there's Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. It can be divided into two parts also, Sadhana and Bhava, or Sadhana and Prema. Sadhaka and Siddha. Practicer and perfect. Any other questions or comments or points?
So there's no question of feeling similar or similarity of feelings at this point. Right?
No, as iron is not gold. There's no question about it. One has to have his heart very much softened and purified through Vaidhi. Just looking at the schedule over here, if we don't do any more tonight, but leave the last two pages of 8, which I have a lot of other things I'd like to read and references to explain these points, because it's a little complicated, the section B. And if we do that, we can take off Sunday and Monday as that plan, and then the schedule will be just right on. Then in the next 4 or 5 classes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, bringing us to the 30th of next week, we should finish the book either in 4 or 5 classes.
I think there's some devotees waiting Saturday.
3
devotees? Morning, Saturday, afternoon, Friday. That's the first.
The Saturday is the first?
Yes.
I have it here as the 30th, that's interesting.
It's Friday.
Maybe my calendar's off here. Today is the 24th, so maybe I think I'm 24th. I'm off here. I'm a day off, that's why. I still don't think there's any problem, because there's only so much we can talk about some of these verses on our level. Like that, we can do 10 and 11 as one, spend 2 days on both. 9, if we spend one more day, then 9 we can do in, no, 9 is one day only. So Tuesday 8, Wednesday 9, yeah, Thursday, Friday, we can easily do 10 and 11. If everyone reads ahead, then I won't feel the necessity to cover every point. I'd like to hear the summaries on these points and hear what everyone got on section A on 8. I'd like to hear everyone's. Arjuna doesn't have his. We have one? And then Jiva. Hold on, did you do one? Hold on. Did you do a summary? We had one of your videos.
The ages of an untrained mind is that one will remember the many impressions of this life and past lives. But many of the impressions come in contact with the mind and produce and contradict the pictures. And then I turn that up one somewhere. In order to clear these impressions, one did. Material impression one should chant the body and take shelter of an advanced devotee and out. And this way I always think of Krishna in his pastimes.
What was the first part of that?
First part is about the...
No, the first part of the second part, the second sentence you read.
The first part.
The point that I'm getting at? The first part of the purport was about the mind. The second part was more esoteric. And what was the relationship between the first part and the second part?
The relationship is in order to remove the impressions, the material impressions of the mind. Once you take shelter of an advanced devotee in the mouth, and in this way always think of Krishna.
Yes, right. That I would put that as the real point of the whole thing.
I had the first one to explain the impression.
Yeah. Okay. Keith? Go ahead. When did you write it?
Just now. anyway. I didn't notice.
Okay, go ahead.
One's mind can be his friend or his enemy. And it's full of many impressions. If at death one remembers, it dictates one's next birth. And if one cannot remember Krishna and the guidance of his chosen master or advanced devotee, then he always remembers Krishna at the time of death and remember Krishna. That helps him.
Goloka, what do you have?
The dangers of an untrained mind. The mind can be the enemy or friend. By training, it becomes a friend in self-realization. The Krishna causal movement is meant for training the mind to stay fixed on Krishna. Because of thousands of impressions for thousands of lives, the mind untrained is dangerous. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. That state he will attain without fail. Therefore, training by a resident of Vrindavan is needed to remember Krishna. And the tongue is trained to only take Krishna's prasadam and chant the holy name.
Anyone have anything about this section that any points? Any more points about this first section? The interest or... Yeah?
Well, I guess the answer kind of seems obvious, but... Besides, we have our 16 whales to chant and our study the morning program and study Prabhupada's books, etc. But, it says, the essence of all advice is to always be constantly engaged in that way. So what about, like, those off moments when you're just, walking down corridor, or it seems it's not so fast. I remember one when he had a picture of Radha and Krishna, he used to keep it like a hat.
For you, it's really easy. You can just glue it onto your glasses.
I know that Lily used to have a harmonica.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem so practical. But it also seems that it's not very commonplace to see a devotee, just constantly chanting. But,
So it's the obvious answer.
Then we should be trying to do that, I guess. Although,
but remember what we learned about these different stages, that until one is nishta, even if one tries to be steady, due to his anartis, he cannot. And due to his rajatama, he cannot. So even if we all vow, you know, I'm taking away my harmonica holder, I'm going to unglue the pictures on my glasses, I'm just going to remember Krishna in my mind, one will still not be able to do it unless he's extremely advanced. That takes great taste. But yet, because it is an extremely advanced state, and it takes getting the mercy of the Vaishnavas to attain that state, associating with those who have that consciousness, although it is a very advanced state, we should still remember that this, after all, is the essence of all advice and the goal. Not even the goal, because the goal is prema. This is the intermediary goal in one sense. Still, this is the practice that will bring us to the goal.
Well, can you explain what's going on when some days it seems very easy? You're not even trying, and you pick up your beads, and your mind is peaceful, and you chant the words clearly, and it's not agitated. It's very easy to just meditate on the sound vibration of the holy name. And other days, you're enthusiastic, and you really want to try hard, and it's just so hard to form your sadhana properly, your body properly.
You can look at it on different levels. One level you can look at it, the planets, which is connected. Another level is the karma. It's one still under the influence. Another level is the modes of material nature. So one is reaping the reactions of his sins, but through abhyas and vairagya, one can control his mind. One and the process of conquering the three modes of material nature, surrendering to Krishna and Navyesha. Gunamai mama maya dhati, mameva te papadyante, mayam etan tarantite. And this is very much given as Shinvatam, Svakata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtanam. Again, it's bombarding the senses and the mind with impressions about Krishna that are anukul, favorable. And there were many verses in front of this with good before this with good instructions, such as utsahan, so one enthusiastically chants and reads nischayad daryad, with conviction that if I do this, gradually I'll make advancement, and then Daryat, patience, tat tat karma bhavatan. I'm engaging in all the activities that are beneficial for my fixing my mind on Krishna. And then janasangas, that one gives up the association of non-devotees, because by associating with non-devotees, we're reawakening that samskaras and bad habits. We rekindle all these sanskaras that we're trying to get rid of. Therefore, devotees who watch television and go to the movies are such fools. Because on one hand, they're trying to light the fire of Krishna consciousness, and then on the other hand, they're making their sanskaras of all their previous impressions of material life burn brighter and brighter and brighter. I mix my analogies there, but I think you get the impression. On one hand, we're trying to douse the fire of our previous samskaras, but then going to the movies and doing these things, it just freshens them up. And then sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna hard while the passion of these things are burning is just torturing oneself. Better to just go to the movies, not really, but better to just go to the movies and then become a materialist and suffer. And then come to Krishna, but when you come to Krishna consciousness, come seriously and sincerely and give up this nonsense. Not recommending that people do that, but it will never work. This gray in between path of sense gratification and Krishna consciousness.
Even if one doesn't actually go to see movies or watch television, the very thought of these things also affects.
But on the thought level, it's quite difficult to control. But the physical level, we have to control. At least that. And then the thought will gradually subside. But yes, we should control the thoughts too. But it's more difficult. But so sometimes our mind wanders. The mind wanders. Manas charati aschalam. That the mind is flickering and unsteady by nature. The very nature of the mind is astiram and chanchalam. But at least we should get that deception out of our consciousness to think it's all right to do these things. And that we'll make advancement. At least we shouldn't, we may be able to fool others, but let's not fool ourselves on this. Okay.